Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, your podcast host, and today I am doing a little solo cast about the international language of love. So this is not about my recent trip to Paris, so not to confuse anybody. This is actually about a recent experience I had. I had the pleasure of gaining by going to a party. This is like a random party that my husband and I got invited to. And then I really got something out of this that I was not expecting. And, you know, I'm coming to realize that the more experiences I have, they really are all for me. They're not happening to me. They're happening for me. And this party was no exception. So this whole international language of love thing, let me tell you what I mean by that. So my husband is Korean. And just so you know, he is my second husband. Okay, so I was married once before, got divorced, 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. And now here I am and I'm remarried. And we've been married about 7 or 8 years now. But anywho, he is Korean. And, you know, he was born in America, so he speaks English. I mean, he's about as American as you can get, but he does have these Korean, you know, immigrant parents. And, you know, I found like one of the first times I went to their houses, like they didn't really speak as much English as I thought they might have. And so I felt actually like the stranger or the outsider when I went to their house. Okay. And so, you know, I was looking up the international language of love because when I think of it as like a romantic thing, like, you know, if you're going to whatever, have a hot date with somebody that's like, you know, not necessarily deep. You know, you don't have to speak each other's language per se. You can, you know, speak some other. That's not really what I mean here. So I looked it up on ChatGPT. Okay. And this is what ChatGPT has to say about it, that the international language of love, it usually refers to ways of expressing affection or connection and that transcends cultural and linguistic barriers. Okay. And it's this idea that love, you know, can be shown through such simple things as a smile or a nice gesture or touch or music, art, or even food. Okay. So keep that in mind. Music, art, and even food. And these things can be universally understood and felt. So no matter where you're from or what language you speak. Okay. And this, you know, became very relevant when I went to this party. Okay. So, you know, back to Jason. Jason's my husband and he speaks English just fine. He also speaks Korean, but he's told me that he speaks it at the level of a third grader. And honestly, it just sounds so foreign to me when I'm in a setting and everybody's speaking Korean. And to me, he sounds like a genius, you know, like I can't understand anything. And so I would never know, you know, how polished his speaking skills were or not. And then also with Jason, you know, I've learned this over the years of being married to him. It's like he has this really interesting, what I like to call the Korean connection. And so it's like, we'll get invited to something and there'll be tons of Koreans there. And I'm like, babe, how do you know these people? And he's just like, yeah, it's the Korean connection, you know? And it's just kind of interesting. I don't have this in my world, but I've noticed this in his. Okay. So keep this in mind too. And then, you know, another thing about Jason is he plays golf. you know, like a lot of golf. And, you know, there was a time he was actually thinking about, you know, trying to go pro. So, you know, he's given up on that dream, you know, at least for now. But he winds up playing a lot of golf with all kinds of people. And so his latest current group of people is an older set of Korean men. And so they aren't necessarily like friends of his parents either. These are just like randoms that somehow he's become acquainted with them. Okay. And one of these men, you know, he's in well into his 70s and he's been whooping Jason's butt on the golf course. But, and I know my husband's super competitive and I know he wants to like have his day where he can, you know, I don't know, stand him up or something. But anyway, this nice man, you know, I guess he's sort of fond of Jason. And so he invited him to a dinner party at his house. So, you know, he's like, why don't you bring your wife? And I'm sure my husband was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea, you know, but I think he, you know, was like, thank you for the invitation. You know, we'll let you know, la, la, la. So Jason comes home and he tells me about this invitation to this dinner party at these people's house. And I'm like, well, who is it? And he's like, well, I don't really know. I just know them from the golf course. And I'm like, where do they live? And he's like, they live in Frisco. And I'm like, okay, well, what are their names? And he's like, yeah, I really don't know. I just call him older brother. And I'm like, you call him older brother? And he's like, yeah, actually call him older brother. And I'm like, okay, yeah. All right. So that, by the way, is like a Korean thing. Like you're always showing respect to your elders. And so Jason, when somebody is even slightly senior to him, he will kindly refer to that person as brother or like older brother. And so like denoting that he is sort of the inferior one in the relationship. And so there's like this hierarchy that happens and that I, you know, with my upbringing, I really don't understand, but I've had to learn to accept this and just appreciate it for what it is. Okay. So, you know, Jason, he comes home and he's like, we've been invited to this party, but you know, do you want to go? We don't have to go. You know, I'll go if you want to, but we don't have to. And he's kind of painting the scene of like, I think he wants an out. And I'm like, okay, do you want to go to this party? And he's like, I don't know. You know, it's going to be a bunch of old school Koreans. And, you know, by that, what I think he means is that, you know, their English isn't probably going to be that great. It might be a little bit chauvinistic. There might be this whole, you know, older brother thing going on. And then, you know, all of this is like, these are very generalizations, big generalizations that I'm making about this culture. But this is like coming from Jason. So, you know, don't hate me. This is just kind of like how it is. And you know, I think he's like feeling protective of me on not going to the party. But also, we normally spend our Friday nights just getting carry out and watching a movie that I usually fall asleep of front of like the first 10 minutes. And so like we're pretty happy being homebodies, but we're definitely in a routine where we're not getting out a whole lot. And we've both voiced to each other, you know, more than one time that we want something different to happen in our lives, you know, and we'd like to widen our circle of friends and we'd like to put ourselves out there more and just, you know, be in different rooms with different people. And so we've both agreed that that's not going to happen if we, you know, sit on our couch, on our butt on the weekends, just like be with each other, which we've been really happy to do. But, you know, we also want to, you know, we want to do something different. So now this party invitation comes along and it's really tempting, I guess, except for with Jason, you know, and me to a certain extent, it's like the Korean factor. Okay. So just to give you some background on me, I'm not Korean and I was born and raised in Texas and I don't speak Korean and I actually don't have any immediate plans to learn it either, you know, which might be to my deficit, but, you know, just keep listening. And, you know, Jason and I have been married a few years now, but I'm older than he is, like 9 years older. And, you know, I was married before and I have kids from my first marriage, you know, just saying, like when Jason's parents found out that we were getting married, they were not excited about their youngest son who had all this potential to marry a nice Korean girl and make Korean babies was going to go totally, you know, blow that plan out of the water by marrying some older, washed up white lady with baggage. Okay. So like, again, don't hate me. I'm just telling you like it is. And that, you know, that was his parents' original initial reaction. And, you know, for the record, now that we've been married for some time, they've come around, you know, mostly to like my charms, you know, and they see who I am. They see how in love we are. And so, you know, it's all fine now, but that was kind of a tough one. That was a tough start. That was a rough way to get things started. And you might say, because of that, you know, I have a little bit of trauma that I associate perhaps unfairly with Koreans. And it does not help that I have this storyline in my head that, you know, I don't belong. And so whenever I'm thrust into a situation where I'm culturally, I'm so out of place, like a very obvious fish out of water, that little storyline, you know, it kind of plays a little bit louder in my head. Like, I don't belong here. I'm not welcome here. You know, I don't want to be here because I only like being in cushy situations where I do belong and I am welcome. So, you know, just knowing this about me, and now we have this invitation that we get to decide what to do with. And so, you know, we, after some deliberation, and Jason gave me multiple times to like back out of this, like even the day of, he's like, are you sure you want to go? You know, we don't have to. And I'm like, no, let's just go. You know, it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be different. We keep saying we want to shake things up in our lives. And so here's our big opportunity. And besides, so what if it's, you know, if it sucks, what if it's awful? Doesn't matter. It's just one night out of our lives. And this is my, you know, it's an invitation. Like, we should be grateful and let's just go see what it's like and have fun. And, you know, if we want something different to happen in our lives, then let's go do something different, you know, and have integrity with that. So we decided to go. And so here's what happened. So we pull up and I, you know, it's this huge house. It's like this gorgeous house. And then we go inside and I mean, it's just this huge, beautiful, stately home with one of those like winding staircases up and like marble. I mean, it's just, it's very, very nice. And, you know, we go inside and, oh, and by the way, you know, you don't wear shoes inside the home. Okay. And so, you know, we kick off our shoes and I don't think anything of it. And I'm walking barefoot and like, I swear, out of nowhere, some tiny little Korean woman comes over and like has put these slippers in front of me to wear, like have my own house shoes inside the house. And so it was such a like nice gesture. And so, you know, they give us drinks and there's this huge spread of food. And I look out in the backyard and I see this really big like banquet table. So now I can tell that like, there's going to be a lot of people at this party and we're some of the first to arrive. Okay. And so, you know, we get ushered outside and I get seated on this couch outside and there's a couple of men milling around outside near the grill. And then meanwhile, all the women are inside in the kitchen. Okay. And this is also another, what seems like a Korean thing, you know, like the Korean women are in the kitchen and the men are doing something else. So I'm actually impressed that they were grilling the meat outside. So, you know, little by little, more people start to arrive. And this is what I would notice. And, you know, there's no judgment here. I'm just saying, like, the people would come in. I might get a really darting look from the women, you know, like they'll briefly make eyes with me and then look away really fast. But the men will just walk straight by and not even say hi. They'll give Jason a warm hello and, you know, shake hands, maybe a slap on the back, but it's really as if I'm not even there. So I'm not part of the women, you know, inside the house in the kitchen, and I'm not really part of this like outside male scene. Okay. And Jason is right. You know, no one really spoke English. And I can see that we're kind of on the younger side of the group. I mean, more so Jason because he's younger than I am. But these are, you know, some older people, and which is fine, you know. But you know how sometimes, like, and I know this now as like an older person, that like now that I'm in my 50s and I think I'm hot shit because I'm so old, you know, like I'm kind of set with my group of friends, and I'm not going out of my way to make tons of new friends, you know? And so I think these people are like no different, you know, like they're there with their friends and like, here's some random white lady at the house. There's probably just like, who the fuck is that? But anyway, so, you know, so here I am and I'm at this party and it's mostly Korean being spoken. I mean, you'll hear the occasional English word, and I think it's because there's not a Korean word for that word. And it really took me back to when I was an exchange student in Argentina. And so when I was a teenager, like I trekked it down to Argentina and I lived with this family, and they would have these really long lunches in the middle of the day from like 1 to 3 p.m. And I'd be like stuck at the lunch table or at the dinner table listening to these people have these long political conversations. And I would not, my Spanish was so limited at the beginning of my time there that I really didn't understand any of it. So I would go on this 2-hour mental cruise while I'd sit there at the table. And so fast forward, and here I am, you know, like a good 30 years later. And I just felt right like I did back when I was like 14 years old. So anyway, but I digress. So, you know, having said that, it's still like a nice party. Like it was a casual party, you know, and it's kind of early in the party. We haven't eaten yet. And people are still being kind of formal with each other. It's almost even a little bit stuffy. And I know Jason is uncomfortable because he wants to make a good impression on these people, but he's also worried about how I'm doing. And he's just like generally like not at ease. Like he doesn't feel like he's in his element either. Okay. But at least he speaks some of the language. So he's conversing with the men, and I'm just kind of sitting there in my own little world. And that's how it was even all throughout dinner too. And, you know, I would observe people. I would just kind of sit and like look at the different people. At most, I might get a sidelong glance here and there. But, you know, otherwise it was very, very little direct eye contact. And it was pretty easy for me to become invisible. And so what I like to do in those situations is come up with nicknames for everybody. And then I'll put them on like a spectrum. So this is all going on in my head. I'm just having like my own little party in my head. And I'll put people on a spectrum. And at one end of the spectrum, it's like those people feel a little bit warm toward Catherine. And then on the other end of the spectrum, it's like, ice cold, these people's walls are up and there ain't no way that Catherine's going to break that net. Okay. So that's my spectrum. And I've kind of assigned people their places, basically made judgments about how I think they're going to relate and interact to me with me. Okay. So, you know, the party continues and we have this delicious food. I mean, it was wonderful. It was such a nice party. It really, really was. And you know, like as much as I enjoyed the food and I enjoyed watching my husband speak his third grade level Korean, after about 2 hours, I'm kind of ready to go home, you know? And I'm kind of thinking like, I wonder what movie we're going to watch and that I can fall asleep in front of when we get home. And so, I mean, probably no one would notice if I had gotten an Uber. That's what I think. Okay. Because, you know, they just weren't making an effort to really talk to me. What were they really going to say? I don't think they would have really been that capable of saying all that much. But, you know, that's fine. And I was thinking about it. Like, you know, when I go to a party, I like to make the rounds. You know, I like to talk to people. I kind of like to turn on my charms, you know, and like get to know people and see what's going on. And so in this case, I'm just sort of being invisible here. And I think that would be torture for like a really narcissistic person to like get some level of like letting go of their ego, just because, I mean, you have to do that because, you know, you're just not, you're not important. Okay. And I think I've found that like I need to feel important or like I belong, or else I start feeling kind of down about myself. But, you know, I was prepared for this and I was fine, you know, but again, I also didn't want to do it forever. So now I'm trying to like give my husband signals that, you know, I've had it and I'm kind of ready to go. And side note, always have a signal with your partner that your partner will recognize when you're at a party and you're ready to say sayonara so that he knows that he can come rescue you. Well, my husband wasn't doing that. You know, we had a plan But I can see that he's actively trying to ignore me. And I'm like, okay, that I can, now I'm seeing that, okay, we're going to be here a little while. Okay. And so eventually he comes over to me and he lets me know that, like, hey, the party's not over yet and we still have to go upstairs. And so I'm like, okay, what's upstairs? And he says, a master karaoke center. And I'm like, a center? And he's like, yes, a center. And so I'm like, okay, do we have to sing? And he's like, yes. You know, and he's just looking at me, waiting for a reaction. Okay. And so I'm looking back at him and I'm realizing, okay, we're going to be here a little longer. And now pretty soon it's going to be karaoke time. Okay. And so listen, I've been known to do some karaoke in my time. Okay. Especially if I'm among good friends, I'll cut up a rug and spin a yarn. Like, I love it. I think it's fun. Okay. So I'm not above karaoke at all. You know, however, I'm not feeling super comfortable around these people, okay? And I kind of pride myself on being able to win people over. You know, I use my charms. And I don't mean to be manipulative. I'm just like, I'm good at reading a room. I'm good at reading people. I'm good at responding to them in a way that makes them feel comfortable, that makes me feel comfortable, and we can relate to each other and have some laughs. You know, and now I understand this is actually kind of a common Enneagram number 3 characteristic. And I am an Enneagram number 3 through and through. And so we tend to be good communicators, you know, of course, except if we can't speak Korean at a Korean party. And we tend to be kind of charming. So I fit this bill. And I can usually find my way in most situations. But, you know, this particular Korean party was kind of a head scratcher. So I had to, you know, within the realm of the party, like, really let go of my ego identity of being able to win people over, you know, especially winning people over by something that I said, because there's nothing intelligent that I can say. You know, there's no proving my worth, no proving my value, no proving my intelligence, you know, no using my charms, because I literally don't speak the language. So what I, you know, just eventually resigned myself to do is just kind of hold a vibration of love and put out good positive energy, even though I didn't feel like it was necessarily returned, at least not initially. You know, that is like until we made our way to the karaoke center. Okay. So my husband was right. Like, this was, this was not a joke. This was a karaoke center. Okay. It was a full music room, like with keyboards, multiple guitars. It had a full drum set, you know, and I mean, we lit it up. Like, every new song that got sung, a new instrument would get pulled out. I mean, this room was happening. So if you like karaoke, I mean, you would have been so lucky to be invited to these people's house, okay? Because this room, I mean, it was state of the art, everything, and it was awesome, and it was fun. So, like, now I'm actually feeling in my element, okay? And so here's what happened, and it just melted my heart, okay? So I actually sang the first song, and that's what seemed to break the ice, okay? So now I've got a, Catherine's got a new status in the room, you know? Before, no one was paying any attention to Catherine, and now all of a sudden they're like, whoa, what was that? You know, who's that white lady over there? And, you know, like, you know how it goes with karaoke, like, now everyone starts getting excited and they want to sing their song, and people that, like, a lineup's getting created. And so now everyone's a singing. And I mean, there were some good singers in that group. It was fun. The person that I, you know, my little spectrum that I created earlier, the tough nut, the toughest nut that I thought would be hard to crack, he belted it out. I mean, it was awesome. And so, you know, they mostly sang Korean songs that I didn't recognize, but it was still fun. And I, you know, I pulled Dolly Parton out of my bed, and I did get invited to do a little Karen Carpenter duet. And I knew that, like, once that happened, I knew I had, like, I had arrived. Okay. And now these people, now we're like talking each other's language. And so like we found some common ground. And in fact, like the little spectrum that I did create earlier, now it's actually not making sense because no one's fitting the prototype that I thought they were at all. And it's kind of funny, like when we first moseyed our way upstairs, the room, this karaoke center, it had this enormous sectional that I think would have fit the whole party. I think all 20 people could have sat on this couch if we wanted to. And so, you know, I sat on the end of one of the sides and no one sat next to me. No one sat next to me. And I was like, wow, okay. I was feeling kind of blue. Let me tell you what, that changed by, you know, mid karaoke party, like the couch was crowded. I had a woman and her husband sitting right next to me and she put her arm around me and we were like dancing on the couch in our seats and stuff. She was like patting me on the back. I mean, it was awesome. I loved it. And so, you know, things really did turn around and like, I was actually starting to feel like popular. But no, like really what I think happened is they saw me, you know, like they saw me barriers down and I saw them barriers down and all of us just like, we let our hair down and we were just in this complete state of joy. I mean, it truly was awesome. And man, these Koreans, they can party. They can party. You know, by the time I felt like we had put in a good showing, and I guess Jason did too, which by the way was like 5 hours after we had arrived, these people, they were just getting started, you know? They were just warming up. Like they had a lot more in them. And I'm sure that party kept on going long after we got home. So here's how it ended. And this was like probably the most heartwarming part for me. So, you know, not only in the karaoke room did like people join me on the couch to like sing together, like clap for me, I clap for them. Like we're just enjoying each other in this like purely like childlike play state. And it was so wonderful. But when we let them know that we were going to leave, you know, people got up to hug me goodbye. And I don't just mean like one or two nice people. Like I had a line of huggers, okay? And I loved it. Like just, you know, I mean, just a few hours earlier, I wasn't even getting eye contact with these people. And now I've got open arms. And it was wonderful. And I knew now I have this really like profound understanding of speaking the international language of love. Because, you know, when you can't speak the oral language, you know, your love antenna, it goes up, right? It rises up. And what I felt from those people, like the energy coming from them, was unbridled love. And what they felt from me was the exact same thing. I was like giving it right back to them. I mean, even the tough nut, you know, I'm like giving this guy a hug. And so I just found everyone so completely endearing. I mean, it was really a great night. In fact, I haven't been able to stop raving about it, like even, in, you know, now, as you can see. So, you know, all of this to say, I did have to get over my ego. You know, I had to let my ego, you know, our ego identities, they're so compelling to us because they work for us. Like they help us win in situations. And so, you know, my ego identity of being like this charming wordsmith and kind of warming people up with like saying all the right things, you know, that wasn't going to work for me in this situation because I literally couldn't. And so that barrier, it got stripped of me whether I wanted it to or not. And the cool thing about that is like, it just allowed me to let people, you know, experience me kind of like at my core, like at my essence, like who I really am when I'm not trying to do anything like really impressive. And so, it was such a good lesson for me. Like I love how these lessons keep showing up for me over and over. Of how I can like welcome more love into my life. And it seems every single time that once I let my ego kind of go away or surrender, you know, surrender its confines, then I just open up to more and more love. And it's pretty amazing. So like this party is my evidence. So, you know, back to old ChatGPT and how they define the international language of love. I'm going to leave you with this. It's not about words. It's about energy, intention, and the heart. That's why things like holding someone's hand, sharing a meaningful look, dancing, or creating something beautiful together can feel so powerful across borders. So you heard it straight from ChatGPT, and we transcended borders that night at the Korean party, and I wish everybody could have a similar experience. So, and until next time, thank you so much for listening, and I really mean it when I say this. I have so much love for all of you. So thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.